Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. See, got to see what I'm going to do here. It is, I guess it's the beginning of Easter week, Palm Sunday. A lot of the Christian world now celebrates Jesus riding into Jerusalem today. And a lot of the world, Ricky was going to bring palms today, but he didn't bring many, so we'll have to go get some after the service. What I'm going to talk about today, we're going to talk a little bit about Jesus as he was riding into Jerusalem and when he looked over the hill and what he saw and things of that nature, just for a few minutes. But what I want to share today is I want to talk about discerning the purposes of God in our generation. The past year and a half, I've been studying different things, Sermon on the Mount, Revelation, Daniel. But lately, what I've been really on my heart a lot is discerning and the need for that in the body of Christ. Now, First Chronicles 12, a verse I'll pull out in a minute, but the background here is Jonathan and Saul have been killed by the Philistines. David has been leading Judah for 7 years, and now it's time for him to fulfill God's plan. Now it's time for him to go in and take over Israel and lead Israel for the next 40 years, I believe it was. There's the 12 tribes around him, and there's a group of warriors within these 12 tribes that lead him in there. But in the midst of this whole passage, there's a verse that sticks out that I read and really impacted me. It's verse 32, 1 Chronicles 12, 32. And it speaks about these guys called the sons of Issachar. It said, of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Their chiefs were 200 and their kinsmen were at their command. But when I look at that verse, that's what God's plan is for us. That's what God wants for us. The men of Israel, the men and women of Cheswick, should be people who understand the times and know what the church is supposed to do. These guys politically understood things. They probably understood things about battle, but they also understood things spiritually. And right, if you read that whole chapter, and it's real boring about the sons of this one, the sons of that one, the sons of this one, kind of to these guys, at first it hits you right in the face. And I think, Lord, what is discernment? What should we be looking at as people? How do we discern? I'm not talking about the gift of discernment, which is discerning of spirits, because I believe everybody, when you're saved, when the Spirit of God comes into your heart, you have discernment. It's just, are you developing it? Are you working it? Are you understanding it? So I want to pray before we share some more. But think about today. Think about discerning God's purposes in your life and in the church. Father, we just thank you this morning that we could come before you. Lord, I pray that you would open your word. Lord, make it real to us. Impact our hearts, Lord, and teach us today. Teach us something, Lord, that we could walk away with and understand deeper of what your heart is. Lord, we're entering into crazier days every week. We're entering into crazier times. And Lord, it's very important that of the body of Christ that we know your heart and understand what you're saying. So Lord, I just pray for each of us here that our hearts would be open, our minds would be open, and Lord, that you would bring about through me those things you would want us to understand. Lord, we thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to turn over to Luke. But keep that in the back of your mind, the sons of Issachar, they understood the times, and they understood, and they knew what Israel should do. If you get some of you are in small groups, I'm currently in a small group, some of you have different functions, people are teaching, but people in the body of Christ are going to come to you, and they're going to need wisdom, they're going to need to understand, and discernment, to me, has four components to it: knowledge, revelation, understanding, and wisdom. We have to have a basic fundamental knowledge of the Word of God. If we don't, the other three can't come about. And then the Lord's going to reveal to us. I've shared this here before, and I'll share it again. I remember distinctly the first day God revealed a verse to me. I knew it was him. Now, he didn't speak audibly, and I didn't feel some warm, fuzzy feeling and none of that. But I remember the day he revealed Galatians 2:20 to me, that it was no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, King James says, of the Son of God or in the Son of God. I remember that very distinctly. And I knew from that moment on that I would have an understanding of Christ in me no matter what. So I had a basic knowledge of the Word. The Lord kind of opened that Word up to me. And now I had a basic understanding of what it meant for me to walk the rest of my life. I understood that God would be with me. And then the last part of that is, with the wisdom comes, I can apply it. Because I walk through difficult times. We all do. We've all had difficult things happen in our lives. We've all had things that have affected us. Wisdom applies what God's taught you. So think about that. We're looking at Jesus riding into, just wanted to take a minute and look at Jesus riding into Jerusalem. He's at the top of the hill. We're going to be in verse Luke 19, 41. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. He goes to the top of the hill, and he looks down in Jerusalem. And you got to understand, when he was in those days or in that environment, Jesus could see what was going on down in the city. And I get a picture of him looking down, seeing the temple, understanding that there are people in there making sacrifices. There may have been people there at that time singing. But then in his mind, I tried to picture, Lord, what were you thinking? And I think at that point he was looking, understanding, because that was Passover week. You know, he was going to be crucified on Passover. That was the Passover week. He was thinking, whatever sacrifice you're going on, I am going to come now and fulfill the purpose of the Father. I am going to serve the purpose of the Father to that generation. And he knew what his purpose was. So I say, Lord, what is my purpose as I walk through this world? What is my purpose? Not where do I work or all these different things. I'm talking about God's heart. What is God's purpose for the church? What is God's heart? So look at verse 41. It says in verse 41, when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. That ought to give you a really understanding of what was going on in Jesus' hearts. And it tells you why he wept. He says, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up barricades against you and surround you and hem you in. And they will level your ground and your children within you, and you will not leave, it will not leave in you one stone upon another. And here's the key. You did not recognize the time of your visitation. They did not discern who Jesus was. At that time, when you're coming in, the people are waving the palms, he's riding a colt, everybody's celebrating who he is. But at the same time, the religious leaders were plotting his death. And Jesus understood that. Jesus knew what was going on. He discerned what his purpose was. Now, we can all say he was God. Yes, but he was God in the flesh. And he teaches us, do we recognize the time of his visitation? Do we recognize the days we're in? You know, when we get into this week, in this whole Passion Week, some of the events that went on were he cleansed the temple. During that time, after he entered into Jerusalem, he cleansed the temple. Whether he did it once or twice, I don't know, but I know he did it at this point. He gave the parable of the wedding banquet. And the wedding banquet was, at the end of the wedding banquet, he says, many are invited, but few are chosen. And I think that should impact our hearts. Lord, one of the purposes of God for our generation, I truly believe, is to share the gospel. And I'll touch on that in a minute. One of our purposes for the church, we've got to share the gospel with those around us. But he gives the parable of the banquet. Then he talks about, in that whole week, you know, there's so much that went on that week with him. He gave the last days in Matthew 24, Matthew 25. He talked about the events leading up to his second coming. Luke 21, Mark 13. He met with the disciples in the upper room. And to me, John 13 through 17 is one of the most powerful portions of Scripture. There's two of my favorites are the Sermon on the Mount and that grouping in John 13, where that night and leading into Gethsemane and leading when he was going to be arrested, all the things they talked about. And he shared his heart with these guys right before he died. And one of the things he shared with them was what the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be. He shared with them that God's Spirit would come and guide you into all truth. To me, that's discernment. Guide me in the Lord. Show me what the truth is versus error. There's a lot of garbage out there in the world today. We're fortunate here. It's very kind of protected in this environment. You get solid teaching. You don't get a lot of new crap that's coming out, new stuff that's coming out. You get solid stuff. I'm telling you, it's not like that out there. You can look at different websites and look at what different things are learning. It's bad. And the Lord, you know, one of my favorite verses about is the narrow road. It's going to keep getting tighter and tighter and tighter. It's not going to get bigger. If you cannot discern what's going on in this world, if you cannot discern God's heart for you and for the church, you're going to have a difficult time. You know, it says in the last days, tough times are going to come and there's going to be a great falling away. I think that's what it means, what it says. There's going to be a great falling away. It's not going to be people that weren't saved, now we're saved. It says there's going to be a great falling away. People leaving the truth of the gospel. Jesus riding into Jerusalem in that Passion Week knew what he was going to suffer, knew what he was going to go through, and yet carried through for us. And I think about this. I shared with a group of guys yesterday morning, a little Bible study we go to, but thinking of Jesus going in and the whole time, I don't think he was focused on the cross about the death. I think he was focused on what God's heart was, what the Father wanted of him. And the three verses I talked about yesterday, we're not going to turn to them. It says in Colossians, he rescued us from the present darkness. Galatians, it says he rescued us from this age we're in. And then it says in Thessalonians, he rescued us from the wrath to come. So we got to think, Jesus knew all that going into that last week he was in. So I want to think about those things. The other thing he talked about in that last week, he talked about the vine and the branches. I didn't realize that particular segment of scripture came in that last week till this morning. He talked about the vine and the branches, about being plugged in, receiving that continual life from him, conceiving that continual flow. That's part of exercising discernment. That's part of understanding the things that are going on. Remember the sons of Issachar. When you leave today, you are a son of Issachar. You're supposed to understand what's going on. We go glibly by. We just take this thing and move on and we don't look at it. Or we're afraid to call it for what it is. Error is error. I don't care how you look at it. There's a lot of stuff going on that Ricky and I get accused of being conspiracy theorist people. But there's a lot of stuff going on out there. And I'm going to tell you, watch Israel. But watch what's going on with this new pope. And the Catholic Church, there's a lot of things going on out there. The Council of Churches, the ecumenical movement throughout the world, this is all coming together. And we are in the last days, I'm telling you, as strongly as I can. Allow the Lord to open your heart for that discerning process. Jesus discerned what the Father wanted, and he served his purposes. So I'm going to look at a couple of the purposes of God this morning for us. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, I want to talk a little bit about David just for a minute. What's going on here is Acts chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 26. What's happening in this chapter, Paul's on his first missionary journey, him and Barnabas. They go to a town called Pisidian Antioch. And at that point, Paul is invited to speak in the temple. Because the way he did things, he always went to the temple when he went into these towns. That was his first thing because he was Jewish. He went to the temple and his heart was to win the Jewish people over. That's what he had in his heart originally when he got saved. But he would go into the temple and they invited him to speak. In the temple at that time, there were Gentiles too. But he went into that temple and what he talked about was how God brought the Messiah through the Davidic line. Talks about how he brought Israel through Egypt, how Egypt then was brought through the wilderness, how they ended up with a king that they should have never had, who they wanted, King Saul, because they wanted to be like the rest of the people around them, and then eventually how they came to David. And then David was known, when you look at him comparing him against Saul, David had a heart after God, Saul had a heart after man. But if you look at verse 26, it says, brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us this message of salvation has been sent. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. Look again, recognizing they didn't discern. And though they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed. When they carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who are now his witnesses to the people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, the gospel, the good news, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children and that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I've begotten you. As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to decay. In the verse I was getting to, verse 36, it says, for David, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep, was laid among his fathers, and underwent decay. Now, he's proving to these people there that Jesus was the Messiah. David did decay. David's body did die. But what he says, David served the purpose of God in his generation and then died. What are we doing? You know, I see me. Lord, am I serving your purpose to the generation I'm in? Truly, Lord, am I? I could tell you where I'm weak, prayer. Lord, am I praying effectively for this church? Am I praying effectively for people? That is not a strong suit for me. So, Lord, I need to get better at that. Because that is a way I can serve the purpose of God in this generation. Lord, when I have opportunity, am I sharing the gospel? Am I doing all the things that I can do? Because Jesus, when I look at Jesus riding into Jerusalem, and everything in these scriptures point to him, Lord, is my life lining up? Am I devoting enough time to your word? Am I studying effectively? Am I learning what you're saying? Am I embracing it? Am I leaving the things behind that you no longer want me to do? So when you look at that, David kind of discerned his purpose and he served it. So I think, to me, I've got four or five different things I think are the purposes of God. One of them is, obviously, being a people with discernment. I think that's God's purpose in every generation, that he wants that. You know, the sons of Issachar didn't have the Spirit of God in them. We have God's Spirit dwelling in my heart. I think 1 John 2:27 says we have no need for anybody to teach us anything because God's Spirit dwells within you. That doesn't mean you don't go to church and you don't fellowship and you don't do all that. That means something's not right. You're going to get that twinge inside here. To me, it's the same way I know I'm saved. Same way I know I'm a believer is the same way I know when something's off base. You all know what I'm talking about, I hope. You've all heard great preach about, you've heard not great, you've heard people preach and you've heard things happen, and you know it's way off base. If not, you need to have your discerning senses honed. So one of them is being a people of discernment. Another purpose of God, spreading the gospel. In these days we're in, I don't foresee a massive influx of people getting saved. When I got saved, when Ricky got saved, 1978, you could just look at people and they got saved. You could be out in the street ministering to people, everybody was getting saved. It was like just this big wave of God's Spirit. I don't know, I'm sure somebody has studied distinct times throughout history where Spirit moved. But now I don't see that happening. Now, unfortunately, a lot of those people that came in, Bob and I talk about it a lot, they're not around anymore. It's not going to be that great anymore. You're not going to see that many people, I don't think, get saved. But that doesn't mean you don't witness the gospel. The Lord's blessed me lately. There's three guys I related to at work at my old job. They've all come back around, and they're all now meeting with me to study. It's nothing to do with me. But they said to me, over the years, your life has proven true. Basically is what they said. In other words, they saw how bad I could be. They saw me on my worst days. They saw when I'm an idiot yelling and screaming. They seen everything about me. But the reality stayed true. And I'm blessed right now that I can meet these three guys. And they're coming and they're getting, and Ricky knows them. It's just unbelievable to see it happen. I said, Lord, I don't know why me, but thank you. Each one of us is put into a specific spot where you're at, where you work, where you live, who you touch. If you're in a Christian environment, not as easy to come around unsaved people. I'm sure there are unsaved kids in the school. But it's different out in the world. Everybody I touch, as a rule, a lot of people aren't saved. So, Lord, if one of your defined purposes for me, and if I can look at you going to the cross for me, I need to spread that gospel. That's another distinct purpose of God. Another one I believe, more critically than ever, is you've got to be an active member of a local fellowship connected to people. You cannot be a renegade Christian. And believe me, there are many days I'd rather sleep in on Sunday morning. No, you don't have to say that. You all can't wait to get here, I'm sure. But there are days I wake up, it's my flesh. I want to be here, but it's my flesh. I want to stay in bed. But you know what? If I'm not connected, if I don't stay involved, That starts where I can get off into error. That's where goofiness starts. Because if you're here and you get to know people close to you, they're going to keep you in sync. They're going to keep you in line. I believe that's the purpose of God. I believe another purpose of God is serving and stewardship. Are we using the gifts that God's given us? Are we doing the things we're supposed to do? I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't know. I say, Lord, I'm not looking for all these. I think I know I can study scripture enough to share something coherent, so I should be doing that. I shouldn't be sitting on the sidelines. But we all have the gift to witness. I don't care who you are. Bob, I think 3 weeks ago talked about your personal testimony. I think it was. And we all have a testimony where you could wrap the gospel around that testimony. Once I was lost, now I'm found, and here's how it happened. Doesn't have to be chapter and verse and everything else, as long as you share that. I mean, I just really feel, especially thinking about Jesus going to the cross for us. You know, what he did today, the beginning of that week, he went there for us. We should think about, Lord, what am I doing? Not that I can earn it. I love what Jeff Kellner said when he shared about grace, that grace, what did he say? Grace about, we don't have to earn, but it doesn't reduce our effort. Grace relieved the fact that we can earn anything, but it doesn't release the fact that we have to put effort in. I thought that was pretty cool. I liked the way that came across. That made sense to me. So, Lord, am I doing it? And then there's one other purpose I had was being mature. So let's go look at this one about discernment. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. To me, this is the most critical. If there was one critical need in the body of Christ today, I say it's discernment. Forget everything else. It's discernment. If you as a believer cannot separate truth from error, cannot divide what's carnal from what's spiritual, cannot divide flesh from spirit, we need to understand this word. And sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes it can look so right up front. I'll give you a good example for me. Back in the early days of my walk with God, the faith movement, word faith movement, we almost all got sucked into that. We all would talk about name it and claim it, and, you know, if you had enough faith, this will happen. I remember guys telling me, if I had enough faith, I'd have another hand. I mean, yeah, okay, I'm kind of glad I don't have one. I have a lot of fun with it. But I remember that I almost got sucked into that. But because of God's grace, being around other men who understood the word and would teach us and we could study, we walked away from that. But I'm going to tell you what, if you weren't in that movement, it looked right. It looked right at the time. All kind of people going to it. All the guys who preached had everything going for them. It all looked right. Doesn't mean it's right. You got to look. You got to pull underneath. Discernment to me, if you're in a car business, wreck a car. I just wrecked one. Wreck a car. And when you look at the car, the external part of the car is wrecked. What you don't know is how much damage is underneath. So discernment is peeling the parts off, taking them all off, and you look underneath and find out the frame's bent. You wouldn't know that from looking at the car. You'd never know. That's why some of you, if you wrecked a car and ain't got an estimate, you thought it was going to be $1,000 when you pick your car up. The insurance company paid $4,000 because they found out when they started ripping his car apart, there was a lot more damage. Discernment's very similar to that, peeling them layers back, peeling them back. So in Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to read it verse 11. Hebrews 5, verse 11. What's happening here, the writer of Hebrews, which I think was Paul, is talking about about Melchizedek and how Jesus came after the order of Melchizedek. But then he makes this brief turnaround. He moves away from that and talks to the Hebrews at this point. He says in verse 11, this would be hard to hear. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. I mean, that's like hits me right in my heart. What do you think about Bob or anybody, you go anywhere and they get up and say, you're all dull of hearing. You can't hear the word of God anymore. I want to teach you so much, but your hearing is dull. It's been dulled by the things going around you. I'm not saying that you hear. I'm just saying, just feel that. That's what these people had to hear. I have become dull of hearing because I'm not applying myself. Then it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I can't stress this part enough, the discernment of good and evil. For me, when I looked up this word discernment, it has a bunch of different definitions to it. One is to differentiate. You know, what does Hebrews 4:12 tell us? The word of God will do what? Will cut between soul and spirit. It will separate joint and marrow. It will separate these things. You can differentiate. Don't accept things at face value. And please don't ever accept what I say. Go back as the Bereans were and examine everything by scripture. Don't ever take, I don't care if it's Bob or anybody, even though there's proven, go back and check it. Just don't accept it. So you learn to differentiate. You have a keen, you kind of have a keen awareness of what's going on. You learn to separate, divide. You learn to recognize. So he told these people, because of practice, have their senses trained. How do you practice? How do you get your senses trained? How do you practice to do that? I don't think there's five steps to it. I think it's reading, studying, looking, researching. One thing I like about the internet, and one thing it's bad about it, there's too much knowledge. But that's a good part, too, because if you look and dig, you can find stuff. You can find stuff a lot of people don't want you to know. You can find things, what's going on. So please, if anything, learn to discern the purpose of God. Let's look at a secondary purpose here, which is spreading the gospel. Let's go into 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So the sons of Issachar knew and understood the times. They knew what Israel should do. We see Jesus understanding his purpose and going in Easter week and fulfilling the call of God for what he wanted for that moment in time. For us, we need to be a people of discernment. We're going to be at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. We're going to look at the second purpose for the church universal and the church local, spreading the gospel. Bob, how many guys you see when you go to the Light of Life type deal that are lost? And you're still spreading the gospel, though. I mean, you see these things happening all around. So we are called to spread the gospel. And when I read this week, this really convicted me. Verse 16, it says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Again, look, recognize discernment. They're discerning. They don't see people by the flesh anymore. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Now, all these things are from God. Think about Easter week right now, who reconciled himself to us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus reconciled us to the Father during Easter week in his death at Calvary and resurrection. We now have the ministry of reconciliation. What it says about the ministry, well, let's go to verse 19 too, then I'll come back. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation is Christ. Jesus is the word of reconciliation. It's not how well you define it, how much you say about it, how many scriptures you know. It's all about that. But he's given us this ministry. And restoration means to restore the favor. To restore the favor. So I can pray with somebody, if God so chooses, gives me that blessing, to meet somebody, pray with them, and see them restored to favor with the Father, and to see their lives change. I haven't seen that happen in a long time. Young fellow I'm working with right now, I'm seeing his life change. It's exciting to watch, because you can get kind of stale in your walk. You don't see these things happen. You get kind of stale and you forget about it. It's fun to watch somebody responding to the gospel and changing. It also means the restoration of the original understanding between people after hostility or displeasure. So it means that we're restored back to the Father the way we should have been originally. So we have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the word of reconciliation. Now let's go on in verse 20. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So today we leave here. We're ambassadors. Ambassadors mean we represent the king. That's what it means. We represent the king. We represent the leader. We represent that person. So We walk out of here today discerning the purposes of God for our generation, discerning who we're called to be, serving him, knowing like the sons of Issachar we could do that. So think about that. We're going to do one more is let's go to Luke 12. I just want to look at this verse for a minute. Luke 12, verse 54. Because I just can't get this out of my heart right now, this aspect of discernment. Luke 12. Come on, where'd we go? Luke 12. He was saying to the crowds, and this again, when you see clouds rising in the west, immediately you say a shower's coming, and so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say it will be a hot day, and it turns out that way. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not analyze this present time? Why do we not know what's going on around us? Why do we not understand it? Why are we not discerning it? So the Lord's really speaking that to my heart, that we need to be able to analyze all the stuff that's going around us in light of his return. Let's go one more place. Talking about maturity, let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And here's how you understand what's going on around us. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to look beyond. We need to see with the eyes of the Spirit. We need to understand behind us. Just like when Jesus rode in, if the religious leaders of the day would apply the knowledge they knew from the Old Testament, they would have understood who he was, and some of them would have entered into the kingdom. We need to remember that as Jesus is entering in, as he entered in this week. And think about that as you approach Easter. Lord, what is your purpose? Am I serving that? Am I discerning it? Do I understand? Am I growing in that discernment? Am I spreading the gospel? Am I understanding what's going on around me? Am I sharing that, telling people that they know what to do? And am I growing in grace and the knowledge of you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, I do pray that you would help us each to train ourselves, Lord, to practice discernment so that we can understand those things that are going around us. Jesus, remind us this week that in remembering you, Lord, and as you entered into your final week here on this earth, Lord, the things you experienced, the things you did, Lord, all the purpose of the joy of the cross and what was beyond it, Lord the Father. Lord, I just thank you for each one here and pray that as we go from here today, you'd give us each opportunity, Lord, to share the gospel or to grow or just to be in a place, Lord, that would help us to carry out your purposes. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.